A young soldier lying dying on the battlefield was asked the question by an old padre. He said, "Young man, are you not afraid to die?" And that young soldier, with weakening voice, managed to somewhat open his eyes, looked up into the face of the old padre, and he said, "Sir, I am not afraid to die, but I am afraid of what comes after death. I am afraid of what comes after death." You know, the Bible and the Word of God leaves us without any doubt as to what comes after death. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." But after this, the judgment. And you know, that is where our reading brings us to this evening. It brings us to that day when Christ's return will bring to a close the affairs of this old world, and will take us beyond the realms of time, out into God's great eternity, and to the great judgment day itself. The day of grace will have ended. The day of gospel preaching, the day of gospel opportunity, will have gone forever. Never again will you sit in a meeting like this. Never again will you hear the pleadings of the Spirit of God to come to Christ. Because the great judgment day, the day of God's wrath, has come. And I wonder tonight in this meeting of that question that was asked that young soldier as he lay dying on the battlefield was asked to you this night. I wonder what your response and what your answer would be. Does death and what comes after death hold nothing but fear and terror for you? Because tonight you have no Savior. You are still in your sins. You know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. You know nothing of God's salvation. And you have no anchor for your soul. And before you therefore lies nothing but doom and despair, damnation and utter darkness, a Christless and a burning hell for all of God's eternity. And yet, dear sinner, tonight in love we say to your soul, it need not be so tonight. It need not be so, because if you turn in true repentance and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ tonight and seek that cleansing and washing that's found in the blood of Christ, then thank God you can be saved. And you can face death and what comes after death with the assurance that it's well with your soul for all eternity. There's a verse in an old gospel hymn in our hymn book, a great hymn it is, and it says, "How calm the judgment hours shall pass for all who do obey," that's obey the gospel, "the word of God and trust the blood and make the word their stay." And I trust tonight, sinner friend, in this meeting, ere this meeting close and this night go into eternity, that you might seek the Lord while he is to be found and call upon him while he is near, and that you would step out in the promise and get under the blood tonight. Because tonight, as sure as you sit in that seat, there is a judgment day. There is the great and terrible day of God's wrath. It's the day, of course, that many mock at, and many laugh at, and many scoff at, and say that it will never come. But my dear friends, I tell you in the authority of God's word tonight, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. God's great judgment day, which we're going to look at for a few moments this evening. And we are told here very clearly who the judge will be. Look at verse 31, our first verse where we commenced to read this morning. Or this evening. And there it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." The one who will sit upon the throne, the one who will be the judge on that great day, will be none other than our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are told over in John 5 in the verse 22, "The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son." The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge on the great judgment day. Dear sinner friend, you will not stand before a preacher on that day. You will not stand before a preacher when you're summoned to the judgment bar. But my dear friends, you will stand before the great judge of all the earth, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the great tragedy, dear sinner friend, is this, that the one who is the judge and the one before whom you will stand if you die in your sins will be the one who could have been your Savior. The one who could have been your Savior. But you refused him. You rejected him. You were happy to go along with the crowd and continue in your sins, trampling underfoot the Son of God, trampling underfoot the precious blood, and saying with the crowd that day that was before Pilate, "Away with him." That word "away" simply means to push away. Push him away. "I want nothing to do with him." You rejected him. He could have been your Savior. He could have been your Redeemer. But now solemnly, he is your judge. To be condemned in the judgment day is something most, most terrible. I don't think any of us can really grasp what that will really mean, to be condemned at the judgment bar of God. But my dear friend, to be condemned by Christ himself, my surely will only add to your torment in the lake of fire forever. And I trust tonight, sinner friend, you will understand the solemnity of what God is saying to your heart this evening. But you know, we're also told there in verse 32, who will be gathered there? For it says in that verse 32, and before him, that's before the judge, before Christ, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them the one from the other. All nations will be gathered there on that day. You and I will be summoned to stand one day before the judgment bar, to stand before Christ himself. If you turn with me over there to Revelation and to the chapter 6 there, and to the verses 15, 16, and 17. And here we have a very solemn gathering. And here's the company, my dear friends, who'll be there in that day. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And my dear friend, you will be in that number. Make perfectly sure of that. And if you're not saved, that will be your cry. You'll cry for the mountains and the rock to fall on us and to hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? They will wish that they could be annihilated. That's what those words mean, friends, when they call upon the rocks and the mountains. But my dear friend, it will not happen, because God requires that every one of us stand before him and give an account. That's what the Bible makes abundantly clear in Romans 14 and 12. It says, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Can you think, my dear friends, what that will mean, sinner friend, for you to give an account of your sins? Those sins that you have memory of, and sins that you have no memory of, sins that were committed years ago, sins that you never knew you committed against God. God requires them all, because the Bible says God requires that which is past. And my dear friend, those words in that text are very personal, for it says, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, when we speak to people about the Lord, and I'm sure we all have experienced this, maybe in the doors or whatever, we find so often that people are quick to point the finger. Well, they say, if that's a Christian, well, I don't want anything to do with it. But my dear friends, you'll not answer for the faults and failures. And we all have failures as God's people. But my dear friends, you will answer to God on that day yourself. You will stand alone at the judgment bar. You'll not answer for the person that's sitting beside you. You'll not answer for the person that's sitting behind you or the person in front of you. You will answer to God alone. And you can be assured that this judgment is according to truth. because the one who is the judge is truth personified. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The books will be opened. This book, my dear friend, will be opened. And the question will be asked, what have you done with Jesus, which is called Christ? It will be according to truth. There will be no bribes on that day, be sure of that. There are men who committed the most heinous murders in this land, and they're still at large, and probably will die, never being brought to justice. But you be sure that justice will be done on the great judgment day. There'll be no corruption on that day. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And my dear friends, so he will. It will be according to truth. And so just for a few moments then, we want to move on and we want to look at some matters concerning the judgment here. And you'll notice in verse 32 and verse 33, the division that takes place here, or the separation. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Here is the great separation and division that takes place. On that day, God's people, who are spoken of here as his sheep, will be placed on his right hand, and the goats, the unsaved, will be placed on the left hand. You know, we live in a land and a world where there are many divisions. There is religious divisions, political divisions, social, rich and poor, and so the list could go on. But my dear friends, on that day there'll only be one separation. There'll only be one division. All that die in Christ, all that die in union with Christ, Christ will set them on his right hand. All that die out of Christ, all that die in their sins and without their sins being forgiven, God will place them on his left hand amongst the goats. And my dear friends, what a solemn separation this is going to be. There will be wives who will be placed on his right hand. And there'll be husbands of many years, maybe in the marriage bond, and they will be placed on his left. There'll be children who will be placed on his right hand, and there'll be parents who will be placed on his left hand. There'll be brothers on the right hand, sisters on the left hand. Maybe grandparents on the right hand, grandchildren on the left hand. There's families, and sadly there's going to be a separation. We all know, I'm sure, somewhat, we have all, I'm sure, lost loved ones. And we pray that God will comfort our dear brother who lost that dear loved one. And the sorrow that it brings. But my dear friends, what a separation is going to be in that day. Because the separation is farewell forever. It is farewell forever. I wonder, am I speaking to someone tonight here? Maybe speaking to a wife or a mother And as you're not saved tonight, your husband's saved. You see the change in his life. You know you should be saved. Well, dear friend, tonight, do not put it off. Come to Christ tonight. There's some young people here in our meeting tonight. I wonder, are you saved tonight? Maybe you've come from Christian homes. You know your mother and father is praying earnestly for you and weeping over you. The saints of God in the prayer meetings, in the midweek prayer meeting, are crying to God for your salvation. And wouldn't it be an awful thing, my dear friends, if you were separated eternally from them? But the greatest tragedy of all, friends, is to be separated from Christ and from his love and from his mercy for all of God's eternity. I wonder if Christ was to divide this meeting right now and you asked yourself this question, on what side would I be? Would I be among the goats on his left hand? Or would I be amongst his sheep on the right hand? That's a solemn question, friends, and only you can answer it tonight. And if you're on the side of the goats tonight on his left hand, my friends, before this meeting close, you cry to God for mercy, that in that day he might place you on his right hand. There is the division here, but you notice also the description here. Because in verse 32 it says, as we already have mentioned, he speaks about those on his right as being sheep and those on his left as being goats. And you'll notice there in verse 32 that it says there, as a shepherd divideth his sheep. They're his sheep. My dear friends, those who are on Christ's right hand on that great day are his sheep. They are those for whom Christ died and shed his blood. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And thank God for the great comfort and blessing that it is to know that if we're saved tonight and trusting in Christ and in his finished work, then we will be on his right hand, numbered amongst the sheep. But you know, those on the left hand are those who are called goats. And it says there in verse 41 of our reading tonight that they are described as being cursed. For it says there, then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed. They are those who died under the curse and under the wrath of Almighty God. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things were written in the book of the law to do them. And my dear friends, every one of us has been born into this world in sin and shaping in iniquity. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all guilty tonight, friends, of breaking God's law. We may try to do our best. We may feel that we are and have never done anyone any harm. But the Bible says in James 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law of God and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You see, over the head of us tonight and over the head of every sinner, there is a broken law because of our sin and our transgressions against God. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that in that all have sinned. My dear friend, we are all guilty before God tonight. But thank God for the glorious message and good news of the gospel, that there's one who died and one who bore the curse of God even for us. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and 13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We have the division, we have the description, but I want to move on now, and we want to look at the departing of the sinner. Look again at that verse 41 again, please. And now the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking again, and he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. The Lord Jesus Christ now progresses to make and to pronounce the sentence. And he says to those on his left, depart from me, ye cursed. They would not on earth obey Christ. They would not listen to the words and pleadings of the Savior when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Savior said, come, for all things are now ready. But they would not listen. And now the gospel invitation to come is ceased forever. And instead of the word come, it is the word depart. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. You know, that word cursed or depart could also be read, on you go. On you go. You have been traveling on the road to hell. And now Christ will say to you, depart, on you go. And my dear friend, my sinner friend in this meeting tonight, if you refuse Christ and refuse to come to him, those are the words that you will most certainly hear. Depart from me, ye cursed. Sinner friend, do you really think, can you understand exactly what that will mean? Those will be the farewell words of Christ that you will ever hear. Depart from me, ye cursed. What a contrast to the sheep and to those on his right hand. Look what it says in verse 34. It says there, come, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On that day, the great judge, the great king, shall own his people. And he shall say to them, come. It's not depart to them, but it's come. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, it is the will of Christ that his people be with him. There's a marvelous verse over there in John chapter 17 and verse 24. You should take it and memorize it and learn it off by heart. It's a marvelous verse. Of course, this is a great chapter. It's the great high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 24 of the 17th chapter of John says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. My sinner, my dear friend, tonight it's the will of God that his people be with him, even in eternity, that they behold the glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There is the departing of the sinner, but you know there's also the damnation of the sinner, because it says there at the end of that verse 41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Prepared for the devil and his angels. And there we have the certainty of damnation. My dear friends, tonight be sure that your sins will find you out. And just as sure as there is a heaven tonight, there is a hell. There is a lake of fire where the Christ rejecter will go. It's an awful place. It's a terrible place. The Bible speaks of it as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, gnashing their teeth because of Christ. A place of unending torment. A place of outer darkness. The bottomless pit. And my dear friends, that is the certainty of damnation. That is the place to which you will go, because God is a holy God. God is a just God. And God must judge and punish sin. Your sins, my dear friends, will either be paid for by Christ in this life, or you will pay for them in the lake of fire throughout God's great eternity. Remember that tonight, friends. You will either pay for, you will either have your sins forgiven here upon earth, or you will pay for them in hell and the lake of fire for all of God's eternity. But you'll notice there the companions, not only the certainty of damnation, but look at the companions in damnation. Look what it says there at the end of that verse. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's your companions, my dear friends, in eternity. The devil and his angels. You know, there's people on this earth, wicked, vile men, that you would not be seen, as we often say, dead with, or even in their company or within a mile of them. But my dear friends, your companions, along with people like that, will be the devil and his angels. Think of that tonight, friends. The one who has brought so much misery and sorrow and turmoil and pain upon this world and upon mankind. The devil and his angels, friends, will be your companions in God's great eternity if you continue to reject Christ. The devil and his angels. And then finally tonight, there's the continuance of damnation. The end of that verse 41, it says, into everlasting fire. Into everlasting fire. And then verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Look at those words, both two words the same in those both verses. Everlasting. Everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. Friends, there'll be no annihilation. There'll be no extermination. You know, there's people today that die and they want to be cremated because they feel and they want to believe that that is the end. My dear friends, it will be the end of the body. It may burn the body, but my dear friends, the soul will live on forever. And one day that body and soul will be reunited to stand before the judgment bar and to hear those dreadful and awful and solemn words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." My dear friends, across the flames of hell tonight are the words, "Forever, forever, forever." My dear friends, if you could be released from hell after a trillion years, there would be hope. But my dear friends, hell and the lake of fire is a place of no hope. If you go there, you are there forever, into everlasting fire and into everlasting punishment. It doesn't say there, my dear friends, that you'll pass through the fires. It says into the fire, into the fire. And my dear friends, that will be your state, and that is where your soul will be for all of God's eternity. My dear friends, tonight, those without a Saviour in this meeting, will you not consider your latter end tonight? Oh, that you were wise tonight, that you understood this, that you would consider your latter end. We're only here, my dear friends, even we live to 100, a very few short years at best, in light of and compared with eternity. Eternity, my dear friends, is forever and forever. But thank God tonight you can escape the flames of hell. Because, thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary bore the equivalent of hell forever for all his people. And tonight, if you come to Christ, if you seek him tonight, if you call upon him for mercy, then thank God he will save you. And the hell and the lake of fire you will never see, but rather you will hear those blessed words that we read there tonight, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." You will enter into the joy and the bliss of heaven to be with Christ for all of God's eternity, and to sing the praises of Moses and the Lamb, and to be with that great company that no man can number, of all those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sinner friend, what is your choice going to be tonight? Two roads before you lie, and you the choice must make. One leads upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake of fire. Will you choose that pit of woe? Sinner friend, you must answer yes or no. What you do with Christ tonight could well determine what Christ will do with you, what Christ will say to you when you stand before him at the great judgment bar. Oh, tonight, friends, if God is speaking to your heart, if God is calling you tonight, do not put it off. Thank God he's speaking to you. God has said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may never sit in the pew in this church in Londonderry again. None of us know what lies before us. And therefore it's vital, it's most important that you seek the Lord tonight and get right with God and know that your sins are under the blood, that they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Know that it's well with your soul. Lay your head on the pillow tonight, knowing that in the great judgment day, I will be placed on the right hand amongst the sheep, those for whom Christ has died, and I will be with them in heaven for all of God's eternity. May God bless his word tonight.